the Aussie Bloggers Podcasts, brought to you by Tan and Amanda. Tan's from Right Your Cancer and Amanda's from My Office Books, and you can find them both at Blogger Support for All. Join them as they talk about blogging and as they speak to a variety of Aussie bloggers who share their own stories, secrets and successes about the world of blogging. And now, here's Tan and Amanda.
I'm Tan from Write Your Cancer.
Hi, I'm Amanda from My Office Books,
and we're from Aussie Bloggers Podcast.
We have a great show today. We have Catherine Eggins on the show, who is a lifestyle and wellness coach. But before we get on to Catherine, I'm just going to read out a great review that we had from Claire Riley. Now, Claire was a guest of ours on Aussie Bloggers Podcast, and on iTunes she subscribed, rated and reviewed us, and she has put, "What fantastic content for aspiring bloggers. So wonderful to hear so many different points of view and hear about such varying experiences." Thank you so much, Claire, for that. We'll give you a shout out if you want to go and check out Claire's blog at The Life of Claire. She has some great tips there, and if you want to go over to www.aussiebloggerspodcast.com, you will actually be able to find her interview there. So let's get on to today's show and welcome Catherine.
Hello, how are you?
Now, Catherine, you started out as a travel blogger.
Yes, the business I had before this one was in event management. We used to put an event together, and it was an amateur singing competition, but it was part of a worldwide event. So as a result, every year I got to go somewhere different in the world, which was quite a good perk of the job. And I started doing a travel blog because I found before I went to another country that I like to get on the internet and read about other people's experiences, and just sort of had a general idea. And so I thought, you know, that's helped me. So I thought, all right, well, I'll start putting my experiences on there. And it was really, really good fun as well.
You started blogging as a travel blogger, and what year was that?
Oh, now you're testing me. I think it was about 2009.
Now, a few years ago, you became involved in the fitness industry. Tell us about that.
Yeah, in 2011, I just decided on the spur of the moment to become a Zumba instructor, and that, you know, when you do the course for that, because I didn't have any previous experience with fitness, I just really liked moving to music. I turned 40, I started putting on weight, I went, I have to do something. So I saw Zumba on the TV, and then found out how you could become an instructor, and just decided to do it. And I'm still a Zumba instructor today. I just love the program to bits. But, you know, when you do the course, they talk about doing Certificate 3 in fitness, and you sort of go, oh, yeah, whatever. But as I started doing classes, I thought, yeah, I can see the benefit in it. So I thought, well, if I'm going to do Certificate 3, I'll do Certificate 4. And so now I'm a personal trainer. And it's been one of the best things I've ever done, because apart from being able to help other people, it's been so beneficial for me to learn more about my body and actually how easy it is to keep it fit and healthy. Because, you know, we're taught by the media that it's supposed to be something that's really difficult, but when you really break it down to the basics, it's really not that hard at all.
Sorry, I'm laughing. I find fitness very, very challenging. So
you'll have to come and see me.
I think I'll have to listen to how you fit so easily, because I just couldn't stop the laugh. I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is the first time I've heard about it being easy.
Yeah, the secret behind it is finding something that you like to do. There's no point in doing something that you don't enjoy doing.
Yeah,
so that's why, like, I tend, like, over the past 5 years that I've been doing it, you know, you go and you try all these different things, and I've trained in so many different things, but it comes back to teaching Zumba. I teach yoga, and I enjoy interval training, because the quicker it is, the better it is. Get over and done with.
I like that concept.
Yeah.
Over and done with.
Yeah.
So, Catherine, you must have a bit of a following there, do you?
I do. I've got quite a bit of a following locally, and I'm just starting to branch out into the big wide world with what I'm doing. I'm actually speaking to a branding expert this week on Wednesday, and just to refine what I'm doing. So I'm really, really excited about that, because it is, the online part with fitness is quite new to me.
So in terms of getting PR for your blog, is this something that you're looking into, or you already have a good handle on it? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I've got quite a good handle on it from running the event that I ran before, in that, we had our Australian winners, and, we had them on shows like Sunrise and The Morning Show, and, all the morning TV shows and all the major newspapers and everything. So I know what works in regard to actually getting media attention, and it really comes down to the fact that it's not about you. If I was to write to them with our event and say, oh, yes, here's our event, it's fantastic, they didn't pay any attention. But when I wrote about our finalists, they were all ears, because they wanted that human interest story. So it's really, it's not about talking about yourself. It's talking about the people that you've helped, and, maybe even getting a story about somebody who you've helped. Maybe they've overcome something, or your story has changed their life, or, what you're writing about has changed their life, and getting media attention that way, rather than just going in direct and saying, this is what I do.
I was just going to say, I love that point that you highlighted, because I know a lot of bloggers would like to be able to attract media attention, but they haven't sort of connected the dots.
And yeah.
And you're saying, look, share one of your customers or one of your readers' story, then make it human interest avenue side of things. Focus on that rather than you. And then they'll sort of go, oh, this is interesting. I think that's going to help a great many of our listeners suddenly join the gaps.
Well, that'll be great if it does, because it is very frustrating if you're sending out press releases and different things and not getting any bites back. And that's not to say that you'll get one every time you send one out, because it also comes down to being, sending that press release at the right time, in that you send it to somebody and they're looking for a story, and your story that you've sent them resonates. So there is a bit of timing involved, but when you take yourself out of the picture and look at the bigger picture, that's when it works a lot better.
So, Catherine, let's just chunk this down for a minute. Okay, so I have a blog, and I would like to get some media attention. So are you saying the first step I need to do is to send out a press release and make it a personal story?
It's a good start, good place to start, but also learning how to write a press release. There's a lot of information online that you can get for free about how to write one effectively. And it's really looking for the human interest side of it, because in the end, the media, we can see by all these reality TV shows and everything, they want the human interest story. And the reason they want that is because that's what people respond to. So they're not looking for someone who's looking for free promotion or free advertising. They're looking for that story.
How do you know who to send your press release to? Is there a list somewhere that our bloggers can look for, or do you just have to go and find a group yourself? Or how would you actually go about finding addresses, names, places?
Yeah, it's with a lot of newspapers, for instance, it's all available online. It's tracking down the newspaper. They have all their contacts on there. Granted, some of the bigger publications are a little bit harder to get the info, but even if there's no direct contact, like, say, with entertainment, there's usually an entertainment contact. But if I couldn't find one, I would just send it to the editor, and then if they like the story, they'll pass it on to the appropriate person. But it's really looking at sites that are relevant to what your blog is about as well. So it's just finding all those contacts. But, if you go on the internet, you'll find a lot of different contacts online.
Thanks for that information. I think that's great. Now, you write quite a few blog posts, so how do you find your inspiration for them?
I actually look at what's been happening in my life, and I also write an article for our local paper each week, and I just look at what's happened over the last week, the different things that have happened with different clients, and I don't talk about the clients directly, but it's, you know, something that's come up for them that I can then relate it through a blog post so that it can help other people. But it's usually just taking notice of what's going on. But I'm also a great believer in the law of attraction and different things like that, and I'm a great one for inspired thoughts. And even with my my article each week, it's due Tuesday morning, and I sit down 6 o'clock Tuesday morning and I just say, what are we going to write about today? And I let the idea come to me. So it's really, you know, about being open to allowing these ideas and thoughts to come to us rather than trying to control everything and, you know, what am I going to write about? Like, it's quite rare that I get writer's block, because I do just open my mind to, okay, what's been happening? Yeah, and allow the inspiration to come to me.
I really like that idea. That's really nice to just basically let it flow. And something that Steve Jobs used to do whenever he had a problem was he would actually go outside and walk around the car park and or go into the neighbourhood or parks or whatever to just let his mind open up and let the thoughts flow.
I've actually been thinking about getting a diver's slate to put in the shower, because the best ideas come to me when I'm in the shower. And I'm thinking about getting a voice recorder, because also when I'm driving, I get a lot of ideas, and because you can't write them down when you're driving, so it's a little bit hard. So I thought, I've got to get a voice recorder, and then I get out of the car and I completely forget until I get back in the car again. I think I must get a voice recorder just to have something on hand all the time to write ideas down or to record them or something.
The last thing we wanted to talk with you about was, I know there's a lot of debate, like video is becoming such a huge aspect of not just blogging but even with your business. So what's your thoughts about that? Should you go for the written blog only, go for video blogging, combine the two? What are you finding is working, not just from what you're doing, but also what you're finding yourself follow?
I think it's a really personal thing. Some people just like writing. I started out writing, and, you know, even with writing, it's, you know, whether to write a really long post or a short post. I have a very short attention span when it comes to reading things. So I like really, really short posts rather than ones that go on and on and on. But there again, it's a personal thing, because your followers will like what you do. So, you know, just because I like short posts doesn't mean that everyone needs to go around writing short posts. If they like writing long posts, that's, and that works for them, that's great. I moved into video because, and even though I have an entertainment background, like I've performed on stages around the world, I've compared events, like really big events and everything, but to actually get on video was a whole new thing for me. But because I had that experience behind me, I guess it did make it a bit easier. But overcoming that fear of getting on video and learning how to present well and different things, the thing I really, really like about it is that you get to show your personality, and rather than I sort of found I wasn't getting my message across as well in written form as I did in the blog posts, because like the video posts, because people could actually see me and hear me and I guess see how I was saying things rather than it being written and it being their interpretation of it. So I personally like video, and I'm currently experimenting with recording videos. I like to script videos because I tend to waffle a little bit, and I don't see the point in spending 10 minutes saying something that you could say in two, because there again, my attention span is short and sweet. I like to script videos, but I'm also starting to experiment with Facebook Live and different things, because I'm a great believer in stepping outside that comfort zone and just, you know, doing it and moving forward.
Excellent advice. What do you think, Tan?
I was just going to say that I fully agree, and Amanda and I would both agree with you with regards to Facebook Live in particular, jumping out of your comfort zone, because we've been doing a lot of that lately, especially when it comes to pro blogger and other events that we've been attending, and it's a great way to really reflect on yourself, isn't it, and how you present and what you can do to actually get your message across in a better way. So it's a great learning tool as well.
Yeah, and one thing I've taken on board with doing videos, which I learnt from being an entertainer, and that is if you make a mistake, you keep going, because people generally don't notice the mistake as much as you do. So it's really just get out there and do it. Be yourself. The more you do it, the easier it gets. But you're right in that if you watch yourself back on video, I was actually quite surprised. I looked at, watched the video myself and went, I didn't know I did that. Or, I found out when I first started that I frown a lot, which I didn't realise I was doing. So, I was able to work on that. And, it's just a really great way. I think it's a really great way to get your personality across, but also a more effective way to get your message across.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Catherine, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for being a guest on our show, and we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. If people wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
I've got my website, which is katherineeggins.com, and it's spelled katherineeggins.com. But I've also got a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/KatherineEgginsWellnessCoach. But if you want to have a look at my travel blog too, it's still up there. I haven't touched it for a little while, but if you want to have a look, it's travelcaper.com.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you
and
so
see what
much.
My writing style used to be. I was shocked when I went back through and went, I didn't realise I wrote like that. It's quite interesting there again, just to look at how your style evolves. But it's something that the more travel I do, I'll add a bit more to it.
Thanks so much for being on the show, Catherine. We really appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We hope that you enjoyed this episode of Aussie Bloggers Podcast. If you would like to become a part of the Aussie Bloggers podcast family and suggest a featured Aussie blogger, or just to say g'day, visit Tan and Amanda at aussiebloggerspodcast.com or at bloggersupportforall.com. If you'd like to leave a review, they would love that too. Keep an ear out for the next Aussie Bloggers podcast coming your way soon.